Good morning, everyone. And good morning to everyone who is watching online as well. If you're watching online, write something in the comments so that we know who is with us. I have a couple of quick announcements. The first one is there's an attendance pad on the end of your pew. If you would fill that out and just let us know who was with us this morning. December 4th, our children have a Christmas musical at 3 p.m. It's going to be great. Our kids always have a blast with that. Also December 4th, before the Christmas musical at lunchtime, Benny, you're not going to believe who's having lunch with the kids that morning. Are you ready? Santa Claus on December 4th. So Benny might be there to join that. I don't know. December 11th is a combined service at 11 here in the sanctuary. Our chancel choir Christmas with our chancel orchestra is going to be here. It's Peace Will Come. And it's going to be amazing. Choir, did you know about that? Oh, they didn't. Okay, hopefully they did. No, it's going to be great. December 11th. You want to make sure to invite all your friends and neighbors to come check that out. December 22nd, in the sanctuary, we're going to have Christmas in Gadsden at 5:30. That's a Thursday night. We're going to have cookies and carols. It's going to be a blast. So you're going to want to make sure you're here. We're going to have cookies and hot chocolate out at the entrance area, and then we'll come in here to sing carols. Don't forget, our Wednesday night small groups are amazing for youth and kids. And we actually, our adult Bible studies are amazing as well on Wednesday nights. And lastly, I wanted to say thank you to the youth and kids and parents who helped make tons and tons of cranberry sauce at the community Thanksgiving. And also thanks to any of you who donated for cakes for the community Thanksgiving. I hear it was around 6,000 plates they made for community Thanksgiving. So our church was a huge part of that. So thank you. And let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Loving God, we are so thankful that we can come together and worship this morning. We pray that you will calm our hearts and our minds and help us focus on you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. it's the lighting of the Advent candle. And so we're going to invite our friends, the Oltmans, to come and light our Advent candle today.
Celebrate your birthday.
Please remain standing and join us in the affirmation of faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, life everlasting. Amen.
Oh.
Thank you so much, Ezra. Maybe now would be a great time to remind you to send in your generosity card. So if you want more beautiful music, send these in. Be generous. If not, then Pastor Andy's going to be singing a solo every Sunday, and I'm not sure that would be good. Now, the beautiful music that you hear, look, invite all of your friends to come on December the 11th for the music. It's going to be amazing. We're going to have chamber orchestra. There's going to be lots of singing. On December the 11th, the other cool thing that's going to happen that Sunday is that at 10 o'clock, we're going to be dedicating our Joan Hightower Children's Room in memory of our dearly beloved Joan Hightower. And there's been a lot of work for a couple of years go on down there. It's wonderful. It's amazing. And she would love it just as much as anybody. So that's special going on December the 11th too. Right now we're going to remind you that there are many ways that you can give and serve, not just singing in the choir, but you serve in so many different ways. And one of the ways we serve is by our giving. So as the ushers come forward, let's pray that God will bless the offerings. Lord, it is by your hand that we are fed. It is by your goodness that we are redeemed, and it is by your mercy, Lord, that we can even stand. We give back with cheerful hearts, with grateful hearts, unto your kingdom, and we pray your blessings upon the gift and the giver in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. There are several ways that you can share your prayer concerns with us. You can send us a message on Facebook Live. You can write on a card, one of our prayer cards you'll find in the back of the pew racks. You can text us. You can grab me and Pastor Andy. Just tell us. We have a prayer team that prays every week, and we pray as a staff for the needs of the church too. And we have kind of like a prayer email chain thing going. So we love to pray for your concerns and your needs. We also love to hear about answers to prayers. So you please let us know how God has answered your prayers and the good things that's going on in your life. Let's pray this morning. Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we praise you for this Advent season, for a time that is set aside specifically just to remind us to prepare our hearts for the coming of the King. We have so many beautiful symbols that we enjoy during this season, and I pray that each one of them will be special to us and remind us to make the preparations that we need, not just by putting up decorations, but by opening up our hearts to let you do the preparation that needs to be done, that only you can do, Lord. Because we need forgiveness, because we need strength, and because there are some things that we need to let go of, maybe some grudges we need to let go of, and maybe some things that we need to say between us and our neighbors to mend some fences. There's deep needs, Lord, in our congregation. There are deep needs around the world that we are so concerned about. We pray for peace, Lord. We pray for healing. We pray, even so, come, Lord Jesus. And we ask that you teach us to pray today the prayer that you taught your disciples when you said, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. While Miss Catherine takes our kids to Children's Church, we're going to stand together and sing one of my favorite Advent hymns, number 196, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. Let's stand together.
Thank you.
Okay, sometimes I have to remind myself to breathe after they've been singing. It's so beautiful. Matthew 24 is our gospel lesson today, and I invite you to follow along with me as we read verses 36 through 44. Matthew 24, verses 36 through 44. But about that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. For two will be in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together. One will be taken, one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. If you go up to just about any kid that you see, if you're out shopping or whatever, and you say, "Ooh, are you ready for Christmas?" They'll say, "Yeah, I just can't wait." And if you look at their parents and say, "Are you ready for Christmas?" They'll be like, maybe not so much. You know, I counted them up. There are 28 shopping days left until Christmas, as if the retailers would ever let us forget that, right? And Pastor Andy, it kind of creeps me out. My phone listens to me. I don't know if yours does, but I can be saying, what I really would like to have some spicy eggnog, and then I'll see advertisements for spicy eggnog come up on my, is that a little bit creepy, like 1984 George Orwell or something? I don't know, but we have to get ready. We know it's coming. Every year they keep telling us earlier and earlier to get ready for Christmas. I mean, they don't even let Halloween get over with till they're telling us to get ready for Christmas. It's crazy. But we do spend a lot of time getting ready. I need to say thank you to all the people that worked to get our beautiful sanctuary made ready for the first Sunday of Advent. Doesn't it look spectacular? It's beautiful. Yes. I love it. But you have to get ready. You have to, if you're going to do a Christmas get together, if you're going to give gifts, you have to make a list, right? And check it twice to find out who's naughty and nice, right? And you have to, you know, prepare and get meals together and do shopping, and it takes time. And some of us complain about the getting ready part, I know, but there's part of me that kind of likes the getting ready part, the preparation part, because I just let you in on a little secret. I'm kind of like wired to be a planner, to be a looker aheader, and my wife will tell you, I overthink things a lot of times. Anybody else overthink things? You don't have to raise your hand, but you know who you are if you're an overthinker, overpreparer. A lot of planning to do. Something big is coming. We know when it's going to come. December 25th. It's not a mystery. We knew that today was going to be first Sunday of Advent, so we had to get all this stuff prepared. And we know that Christmas is coming December 25th. That makes it convenient for us who like to plan and prepare. And I can't believe it's already here, right? The Advent season is upon us. Advent. Just a reminder for you who maybe have forgotten or maybe didn't know, the word Advent comes from a Latin word, Adventus, and it means the coming. In the season of Advent, we prepare for what we know is coming every year, 25th of December, Christmas. I love all the things that we do. I love all the symbolism, the color purple. I love the color purple. And it just reminds us of royalty because the king is coming. We use evergreens. We use pine and fir and cedar and holly. And look, Even magnolia. Don't you love the shiny green magnolia trees? They're green and they symbolize everlasting life. The circle of the Advent wreath, the never-ending circle symbolizes the reign of the Messiah, which is forever and ever. And we light a candle every Sunday, a different candle, reminding us of hope and peace. And the pink candle is the candle of joy and then love. And that leads us up to what we're anticipating. We know our Christmas Eve service is going to get here, and we're going to light the Christ candle right in the middle of that thing. It's going to remind us that the light of the world is coming into our darkness. The whole season of Advent, the whole purpose of Advent is to remind us that the light of the world is coming. Every week brings us closer and closer. Every week we have more and more planning to do, it seems. But our scripture this morning reminds us that there's something else about Advent. There's something deeper, there's something bigger about preparing. That same word, Adventus, that Latin word in the Greek New Testament, is the word the church used for the second coming, the second advent of Jesus. It's called parousia. It's the Greek word that means the second coming of Jesus. So Advent reminds us to prepare not only for what we know is coming on Christmas, December 25th, but also to prepare for something that's completely unexpected. You say, Pastor Sam, how do you prepare for something that's completely unexpected? It's a little bit harder. It's a little bit harder to do that than to prepare for something you know is coming. But you know what? Sometimes that's just how God works. God doesn't always make an appointment. Sometimes God just shows up, right? Sometimes it happens in a worship service. You're just going right along and all of a sudden, whoo, wow, God is here. Sometimes it happens just in an ordinary day. You're out walking the dog. You look and you see this beautiful red Japanese maple tree. Did I get that right? Is that what color they are? But you have a God moment while you're out walking the dog. Sometimes it happens in a hospital waiting room when you're there and you're wringing your hands and you're praying. All of a sudden, the peace of God that passes all understanding grabs your heart. And sometimes in the middle of the night when you can't sleep and you're tossing and you're turning and you think nobody hears you, and then all of a sudden you know that you're not by yourself. See, God just likes to show up and surprise us. Jesus said in verse 36 that I just read, that day and that hour, talking about the second coming, nobody knows. Not the angels, not the Son, just the Father. When the time is right, God shows up. That's what happened on Christmas morning. The time was right. Christ came and was born at just the right time, in just the right place, in just the right circumstances. Christ comes to us in our worship services, in our small groups, in all different places at just the right time. But we still get ready, you know? It's just a different kind of preparing. It's a preparing of our hearts to be ready. Advent is a perfect time to remember that not just that Christ came 2,000 years ago, but that Christ is coming again. Maybe not today, could be today. Or maybe Christ comes for me today, or you today. Jesus said in John 14:3, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I'm going to come again, and I'm going to receive you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. So, church, we confess it every Sunday when we say the Apostles' Creed. We believe Christ is coming again. Christ is coming again. So there are different ways to approach preparing for that Advent, that second Advent. And I want to tell you about three of them today. Because, you know, preachers can only count to three. We always have 3 points, or I do. The first one is what I call the NASA engineer approach. Now, before you get on to me, Some of my best friends are NASA engineers. You know, if you want to send a rocket to the moon, there's no better person than a good, just linear thinking, NASA engineer. But it's not exactly the way you approach thinking about the second coming. Now, I would be the first to advocate reading and studying the Word of God, but what part of no don't we understand? There's, you know, this just engineer part of our brain that wants to figure it out anyway, right? We'll read a book on biblical prophecy or something like that, and next thing you know, we're circling the date on the calendar in red when Jesus said nobody knows. The year I graduated from seminary, 1988, yes, it was a long time ago, but the year I graduated from seminary, there was all of this buzz going around about this book that was written by a retired NASA engineer. And the book was entitled 88 Reasons Why Jesus Will Return in 1988. And this guy, bless his heart, had narrowed it down to within 2 days. Between September 11th and September the 13th, 1988. And he was so sure about it, he mailed out 300,000 copies of this book to ministers across the country. I didn't get one, but I was just a student pastor, so maybe that's why I didn't get one. 4.5 million copies were sold. And he was so sure about this date that here's what he was quoted as saying, "Only if the Bible is in error am I wrong. I would stake my life on these dates in 1988. Well, that book's out of print. Strangely enough, you can't buy that book anymore, you know, but you know, 88 came and went, but you know, he wrote up, he was determined, if nothing else. He wrote a follow-up book predicting Jesus would return in 1989, and then 1993, and then 1994. Strangely, those books didn't sell very well. There's a reason why the announcement of the birth of Christ was given to shepherds and not NASA engineers. Because God loves to surprise people. If you're an engineer, you don't want to be surprised. But God loves to surprise people. All you can do is kind of prepare for when the surprise comes and then just enjoy it, right? That brings me to the second way that some people respond to God coming at an unexpected time. This one I call the Noah's neighbor's response. Jesus said in the days, it'll be like the days of Noah, the coming of the Son of Man will be. For in the days of Noah before the flood, people were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage until Noah entered the ark, up until the flood came. People were just going about their way, and then the flood came and took them all away. That's how it's going to be when Jesus comes again, the coming of the Son of Man. It's going to be just like that. People are busy. Are you busy? Everybody, I don't care if you're working or retired, everybody's busy. And at Christmas, this time of the year is even more busy, right? Even more busy. We're all busy. And we all like the eating and drinking. The meals, look, I'm all about it. I'm ready for the next party. Andy comes in every day and says, "Are you ready to party today?" And I always say, "Yes, don't I?" I'm always ready. Bringing those Christmas cookies and cakes and stuff like that and going out to eat. I love all of that. Cooking, whew, I ate enough, you know, over Thanksgiving holidays probably for all of y'all. We've got meals to prepare, parties, marrying and giving in marriage. Pastor Andy did a wedding recently for George Vance's daughter at Botanical Gardens. You know how much preparation goes into getting ready for it? If you've ever been on that end of preparing for it, you know it takes a lot of time. We've got work. Jesus talks about how, you know, everyday business, people working out in the field, people grinding at the mill, people are busy. But will we be too busy to notice when the Lord shows up? Will we be so busy that we miss a God moment? Back in 2007, Washington Post tried this experiment on a cold January morning in Washington, D.C. at the metro station. They had this young man in just raggedy blue jeans and a baseball cap and show up in the metro station, take out his violin case, open it up, lay it on the ground at his feet, you know, threw a few dollars in there to kind of prime the pump, and then start playing his violin. And the sound of his violin filled the station for the next 45 minutes while he just played his heart out. And they had little cameras, you know, to notice and count how many people came and went during that 45 minutes. During that 45 minutes, a total of 1,097 people passed by this guy playing his violin. And out of those folks, only 7 people stopped to listen to him. 7 out of almost 1,100. And you say, well, maybe he just wasn't all that great of a violin player, Pastor Sam. No, the Washington Post had hired Josh Bell, who was an award-winning, one of the most famous violinists in the world. We just heard the call to worship with Vivaldi. Go, if you love to hear stuff like this, everybody loves some Vivaldi, listen to Josh Bell playing Vivaldi with an orchestra or something. It'll take your breath away. It's beautiful. I mean, Josh Bell had just played at the Boston Symphony Hall and packed the place out. Tickets went for hundreds of dollars. And here, one of the best violin players in the world playing a $3.5 million Stradivarius violin for 45 minutes, and people were too busy to stop and just enjoy. What a shame, right? What a shame. And 2,000 years ago, there was a baby born in Bethlehem, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but people were busy. You know, a census was being taken. People had to get to where they had to get. The inns were filling up. There were meals to cook. There were bills to pay. Jesus said, these words, watch. You never know. Watch, because you never know when God's going to show up. Just don't be too busy to notice. So that brings me to the third response. This is the one we want, right? This is what I call the Boy Scout approach. Boy Scout approach. And by that, of course, you know what I mean. The Boy Scout motto. Be prepared. Always be prepared. Always be prepared. Jesus put it this way, verse 44. Therefore, you also be ready. Just those two little words. If you don't remember anything else about today, remember the beautiful music, but remember those two words. Be ready. Just be ready. And you say, well, Pastor Sam, if there's no way for me to know when Jesus is going to show up, then how do I be ready? Do I just dress up in a white robe and go up on top of a mountain and stare up into the sky? You know, there are some people who have tried that. I don't think that's what it means. I don't think it's what it means at all. Back in World War II, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he's one of the people that you need to know about if you're a history person, or even if you're not. You need to know about his life. You need to know about his witness. He was put in prison for taking a stand against Hitler. And even in prison, he urged the church, he urged Christians in Germany to take a stand against the Nazis. But here's the problem. There was a lot of churches, a lot of Christians that were looking and seeing what was going on, and they believed that Hitler was the Antichrist. And so because of that, they thought, look, this is the end times. Jesus is going to come back any day. And some of them went to see Dietrich Bonhoeffer in prison and said, look, why are you putting yourself in danger? why are you going through all this? Why are you being why are you going through this, standing up against the Nazis when it doesn't matter? Jesus is coming back any day now, and all of your suffering, all of your work is just for nothing. And I love what Bonhoeffer's reply was. He said this, and please listen. He said, if Jesus returns tomorrow, then tomorrow I will rest from my labor. But today I have work to do. Right? This is the Boy Scout approach. Until that hour comes, I'm going to watch and work. Until that hour comes, I'm going to be prepared. Since I don't know when that hour is going to be, I'm not going to let something stay undone that I need to take care of. I'm not going to let some words that I need to say to somebody be unsaid. I'm not going to carry around a burden of unforgiveness. I'm not going to carry around a burden of unconfessed sin. I'm going to be ready. I'm going to watch, and I'm going to work. Because we don't know. We don't know. God loves to surprise us. Be ready. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for how it reminds us. We thank you for Advent, the time that we have to prepare our hearts for the expected and for the unexpected. We pray, Lord, even so, come quickly. Come to our hearts right now and help us in the meantime to watch and work and wait expectantly. In Jesus' name, amen. While we're waiting, we will sing. We will sing. Let us stand up together as God gives us strength to and sing number 219. What child is this? Or let's make that number 218, since that's the one that we're all prepared to do.
It came upon the midnight clear, that glorious song of old, from angels bending near the earth to touch their hearts of gold. Peace on the earth, goodwill to men, from heaven's all gracious King. The world thank you.
Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit go with us now and forever. Amen.